questions, then turn to Acts chapter 1. I want to speak to you this morning. This is usually your Sunday school crowd is a little more of the just stable. Not, I'm saying not stable, but just a little more maybe, I don't know what you'd call it, the people that come to Sunday school, but they want to know, they want to learn, and so I want to teach today on the Great Commission, Acts chapter 1, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let me just read this real quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for being so good to us, Lord. We thank you for saving our wretched souls and giving us eternal life and all your blessings and all your benefits, God. We're truly grateful today. We love you today, Lord. Help me to be a blessing to these people today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jesus, this is one of the five times Jesus gave the Great Commission before he left the earth. He said in Mark 16, 15, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Mark 16, 15, he said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Luke 24 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said in Matthew 28, go ye therefore teach all nations. He said in John 20, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And here in Acts 1:8, he gives these are some of his last words before he ascended up into heaven. He told the Christians there, he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. And notice that first word in this verse, it says ye. Who is ye? Who is ye? Ye is thee. Amen. Ye is thee. Ye is us. Amen. So God wants us to be a witness for Christ. Amen. After we get saved. And I believe, this is my belief, I don't believe God has any secret agents. Amen. After I got saved, one of the first things I wanted to do is tell my friends about Jesus. Amen. Now, they didn't listen to me, you know. And I don't think any of them hardly ever got saved, maybe one or two of them. But when you get saved, you know, something happens to you, you know, and you just want to tell people about Jesus. Amen. It's something in your heart. You want to begin to confess him before men. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Paul said that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So God wants us to be bold as Christians. And sometimes it's hard, you know, to do that. But I think there's a couple of ingredients for us to be witnesses for Christ. I think one of the ingredients for every Christian to be a witness for Christ is start out each day with a devotion. Amen. Start out each day with the Word of God, reading the Bible, and praying, and asking God to each day to fill you with the Holy Spirit and lead you to a people. Amen. That you can witness to. I think that's a good prayer. Amen. And the Bible says, notice that there it says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto who." Unto me, Jesus said. So the goal of our witnessing should be to exalt Jesus Christ. Tell people about Jesus, what he's done for us. You know, a good way to witness to a person, I believe it's helped me in witnessing, is give people your testimony. Amen? Give me your testimony. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. Amen? You know, lost people can't deny what God's done for you. Amen? Because he did it. You know, sometimes I'll talk to somebody that I'm not interested in, and I'll say, sir, all I can tell you is Jesus saved me 42 years ago, and he changed me, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me, you know. And you know what they usually say? They'll tell you, that's good. You know, that's good, you know. People are starving today for good news, aren't they? I mean, in this day and age, all we hear is bad news, bad news, bad news, but we got the good news, amen, that Jesus saves, amen. And so they'll say, that's good. Now, they still don't want to listen to you. They don't want to talk to you. But they'll tell you that's good, amen? Because people like to hear good news. And so we got the good news. You know, even the newest Christian can be a witness for Jesus, just, you know, by your testimony. It's something what God's done for you. We all got a testimony. there's been a time in our life where we've heard the gospel Billy Graham style, and the Holy Spirit of God's convicted us of our sin and pointed us to Jesus Christ, and we accepted Jesus as our Savior. We believed on Him and trusted in Him. And God began to do a work in our heart. He forgave us of our sins, and then He begins to do a work in your heart. Amen? And He begins to change you little bit, little by little as you yield your life to Him. Amen? And so, first thing, start out each day to just have a devotion for God. And let me ask you this. What do you guys think the greatest tool for witnessing is as for a Christian? What do you guys think? Talk to me here for a minute. What do you think the greatest tool for witnessing is? Who'll give me an idea on that? What do you think the greatest tool for witnessing is? Come on, you can say something. If you make a mistake, that's all right. Scripture. Well, yeah, that's true. The Scripture, no doubt about it. But let me narrow it down a little bit. Tracts, gospel tracts, are the greatest tool for witnessing for Christ. Amen? I mean, when you go out each day, if you have a gospel tract in your pocket or in your purse, it's a lot easier to witness for Jesus. Amen? I mean, you go through a store, and after you pay for your food, you just pull out a gospel tract. Let me give you this. Tell you how to go to heaven, you know? Have something you say. That's what I usually say. Tell you how to go to heaven, you know? And it gives you confidence when you have something you say, you know? And they usually take it, you know? And I think most people want to go to heaven, you know? I don't think anybody really wants to go to hell, do you? And so if you have a gospel tract in your pocket, it's a lot easier to witness for Christ. If you don't have a gospel tract in your pocket, you probably won't witness in your daily life, you know? Because, I mean, if you go through, say you're in a line in Walmart or something, and you don't have a gospel tract in your pocket, you're probably not going to witness to that person at the cashier because, number one, there's five people behind you, you know what I mean, waiting to pay for their food, and they're not going to stand around while you're witnessing to them. But if you just have a tract, you can just give it to them, you know. I like comic book tracts myself. These are good. I love chick tracts. They're expensive, but they're worth it. I love a good comic book tract. People say chick tracts get red. Well, that's true. I remember one day I was going down to West Virginia, down 77 there. They got that one rest stop going down there. You guys have probably seen it. It's a great big rest stop going down 77 down there in West Virginia. And I had to go to the restroom, and I was kind of in a hurry. And I got out of my car, and I was going into the restroom, and I had one chick track in my pocket. And I just threw it on a bench, you know, going in there. And I went to the restroom and came back out. When I came back out, there was five kids on that bench reading that chick track that I gave them. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Five of them around that track reading that track. And so a good way to witness is to have tracts and take advantage of just our daily lives, being a witness in our daily lives. What are some of the other venues we have today for witnessing for the Lord? Amen. Not just our daily lives, but there's a lot of venues we have today in America. You know, this is still a free country. Amen. Praise God for that. You know, this is not communist yet. We're heading that way. Probably won't be long, but we're still living in a free country. We still have liberty in America. And I praise God for the liberty that we have. Amen. So where are some of the other ways? Well, some churches have door-to-door witnessing, door-to-door ministry. They go out door-to-door and knock on doors. That's a great way to witness, amen? I'll say this much. Nowadays, it's a little kind of hard to talk to somebody when you do that. Whenever we go out, church goes out door-to-door. We may knock on 20 doors, and we're lucky if we talk to one person at the door because they don't answer the door. They all think you're Jehovah's Witnesses or something. They won't answer it, amen? But a few of them do, and sometimes you can get in a good talk with somebody. So that's a good way to witness, do door-to-door witnessing. One of the best ways Cindy and I have found for witnessing is we did a fair ministry for about 10 years in the fairs. And that's a tremendous way to witness, you know, like a county fair or something, setting up a booth. We work with Amazing Grace Missions, and we had a thing that said, three things God can't do, you know. And there's three doors, you know, and people walk by. What do you mean, three things God can't do? And the first door says God can't lie. The second, they open the second door and it says God can't change, and they open the third door and they say God can't let anybody in heaven unless they're born again. And you just ask them, say, sir, are you 100% sure if you died you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? And you'd be surprised how many people say, I got some doubt. and say, well, you got 10 minutes, I can take you back here and show you out of the Bible how you can be 100% sure you're going to heaven. You'd be surprised how many people would go back there with you, sit down at a table, take a large print Bible, and lead them to the Lord. Amen? And when we try to lead people to the Lord, we always start out in Revelation 21:8. I like to start out in that because it gets people lost. Amen? We've switched from Romans 3:23 on the Romans road, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We switched over to Revelation 21:8. It says this, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, we go through that real slow and explain what each one of those things mean. Amen? We were doing a fair one day, and when I get to abominable, I usually mention homosexuality, you know. And there was three girls that came in the booth. And this is an interesting story. These three girls, I mean, they were just sharp-looking girls. They looked like this nice-dressed lady right down here. You'd have never known that they didn't go to church or whatever. And they came in the booth, and so I mentioned that. I says, they're abominable, you know, in Revelation 21:8. And I said, you know, there's a lot of abominable things in the Bible, but one of them is homosexuality and lesbianism, you know. And this middle girl, she raised her hand. She said, sir, I'd like to tell you one thing. She says, I said, sure, what? She says, I'm gay. I said, oh, okay, you know. They try to freak you out a little bit sometimes, you know. And most of them run out of the booth once you mention that homosexuality. But these three girls didn't. They stayed. She says, I'm gay. I said, okay. And I went along with trying to lead them to the Lord there. And I got down to Romans 10:13, and it says here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I asked him, I says, girls, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? And they said, okay, you know. And then when they usually tell you, yeah, they want to, because you've got them lost in Revelation 21:8. So when you get down to Romans 10:13, they'll usually tell you, yeah, I want to get saved. I want to ask Jesus to come in my heart. I want to accept him. And I usually ask them this question. Well, let me ask you this. I says, you know, a lot of people come in here and they see they're going to hell and they want to receive Christ as their Savior. But a lot of people just want hell insurance, you know. Let me say this. You got to be at least, are you willing? This is what I ask myself. Are you willing by God's grace to turn from sin by God's grace? They say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, like I say, a lot of people come in here and they want to pray because they don't want to go to hell. But you got to be willing to turn from sin, whatever God convicts you about. You're not going to be sinlessly perfect. God knows that. You're never going to be sinlessly perfect. But whatever he convicts you about, I believe he wants you to turn from it. And I asked her, I asked these girls, I said, are you willing? And this girl, the lesbian girl, told me, she says, I don't know if I can. And I said, Lord, give me a verse, give me something. And the only verse that came to my mind is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I quoted her that verse. I said, honey, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And she looked at me, she says, I'll try. And so we prayed. We bowed our head, prayed, and all three of them asked Jesus to come in their heart. And after we did that, we would get them have them sign a paper, you know, tell them on the paper saying what Jesus did for them that day. And you know what that girl wrote on that paper? She wrote, God delivered me today from homosexuality. She called lesbianism. She said, God delivered me today from homosexuality. And I said, praise the Lord, amen. And, God's able, amen? He can save anybody. She's going to have a tough time, probably, you know? But she prayed and asked the Lord to save her, you know? So I said, glory to God, amen? So that's the fair ministry. It's a good ministry. You pass out tracts in the fair ministry. You get to witness to people. It's a great way to carry out the Great Commission, a fair ministry. If it's done properly, okay? A lot of people just like to promote their church in fairs, which is all right, it's fine. But if you really want to win souls and witness to people, if you do it properly, you can win more people in a week of a fair ministry. You can win more people, witness to more people than you can in a year of church work. Amen? And so it's a good ministry, the fair ministry. And then another ministry that we've done, used for witnessing lately, Cindy and I, is we've been using the flea market as a venue for for witnessing. The flea market. And there's a big flea market up in Akron where we're from called Hartville Flea Market. And we've been going out there setting up, and we've been putting the signs out. And when people walk by, they see them. And we've been tracking people and putting a thing on the sign, free signs, one per family, you know. And people come up and they take the scripture signs, amen. It's amazing. The first time we ever did it, it was on a Saturday. I think we gave away 25 signs. The second time, second Saturday, we gave away 40 signs in one day. The next Saturday, we gave away 40. That was right in the middle of COVID back in October, you know. And so the flea market, and using the signs in the flea market. By the way, if God would lay that on your heart today to do that, I'll supply you the signs. If you want to go in a flea market and do that, I'll be more than happy to do that. We even set up a little table. We sell a few things and try to make a couple bucks, and we put the signs out and do that too. So we kind of kill two birds with one stone. Another great place, to be a witness for the Lord that we use is sporting events. Sporting events is a good place to witness for the Lord. People going into sporting events. We will go up to the Indians games or the Browns games, and we'll pass out tracts and even preach a little bit on the street up there. We do the Browns games sometimes. Them people are crazy up there. Those Browns games out there. You know, they come in. They just been out in that tailgate. You know, they're all about half drunk, and they come in. And about 12:30, when the game's at 1 o'clock, I mean, there'll be literally thousands of people that come across that bridge, you know, going into the stadium there up at the Browns game. And when I get to get there, and I usually use a megaphone. You're not legally allowed to preach with a megaphone, but I use it up at the Browns game anyway. They don't say nothing to you. But if you don't use a megaphone, you're legal to preach in any place in the United States on public property. And those guys would go in them Browns on the Browns game. You must be born again. Except you repent, you'll perish. You know, and preach a little bit to them drunken Browns fans. You know, we were up there one day, and two cops pulled in while I was preaching, and they got out of the car, and they leaned on the back of the car, and the one cop had an Uzi. And the other cop did, and they sat there, and I said, oh, I'm out of here, you know, what are these cops going to do, you know? And they just sat there and listened to me for a half an hour while I was preaching, you know? And I got on my bicycle and rode a mile down to my van where I parked, and I thought to myself, as I was riding that bike back to my van, I said, what a great country we live in, amen? I can get up here and preach, and I got cops protecting me with Uzis, amen? You know, folks, if we didn't have the police, we'd have total anarchy, amen? If those police weren't out there directing traffic at those Browns games, those Brown fans would probably come up and try to beat me to a pulp, amen? But that's a good place to win. Indians game, you know, high school football games, I don't know, track, just track, get out there and track. Good place to witness sporting events. People use the street. Sometimes people just preach on bus stops or witness on the street, go down on the streets and witness there. Good places to witness for the Lord. And then you say, well, how else can we be a witness for the Lord? Well, you might not be a good talker today, okay? None of those things may not appeal to you. But another good way to witness for the Lord, and that's why I'm here today, is put out a scripture sign, amen? Put you a scripture sign out in the front yard. It's a great way to witness, amen? That's why we do this, you know? That scripture sign, when you take a scripture sign home, folks, and put it out in your front yard, you're witnessing 24 hours a day. Amen? You don't have to pay that scripture sign. You don't have to give it support. It's out there doing its work. The Word of God will do its work every day. It's working 24/7. And the Bible says, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. When you put the Word of God out, you're sowing the Word of God. Amen? And everybody that sees that scripture in your front yard or wherever you put it, in a window, if you live in a gated community or whatever, when you put it out there, people see that scripture, God will use that His Word to draw people to Himself. Amen? He does. He uses the Word of God. We'll talk a little bit about that in the morning service. But, you know, folks, nobody has ever gotten saved without the Word of God. If you're here today and you're saved, you got saved because of the Word of God. Amen? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God always uses His word to bring people to Christ. So when you put a sign out, you're witnessing all the time, amen, for the Lord. And if anybody ever sees your scripture sign, get saved later on, well, you had a part in their salvation, amen. You sowed that seed, and you'll have a part in their salvation when you get to heaven, amen. And when I was a heathen, I used to go down. I had a farm over here in Zanesville, and used to go down to that farm. And you know, we were a bunch of hippies. You know, we bought that farm. We were going to have a marijuana plantation over there, and do what hippies do, you know. And I used to drive down to that farm, and on Route 60, right outside of Zanesville over here, they had a big sign over there. It said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I used to look at that and say, what does that mean? You know, I was just a dumb Catholic hippie. I didn't know nothing about the Bible or nothing. But I used to look at, what does that mean? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you know what? I believe God used that scripture to start working in my heart. Amen? Because I began to get miserable in my life. Amen? And I was a drug addict. And I hated my life. I was addicted to heroin at the time. I hated my life. But I didn't know what the answer was. And I believe God used that scripture to begin to convict me and draw me to Himself. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, it says, I will make known my words unto you. See, so God wants to make known His word to this world. Amen. Folks, there's a lot of things out there today that we see, don't we? You know, come to the lion's den and, you know, all these weird signs they got out there. But you don't see very much Scripture. And folks, it's the Word of God that will help people, that will save people, that God will use to draw people to Himself. So gospel signs are a great way to be a witness for the Lord. We can all do that, amen. We can all put a Scripture sign in our front yard. You say, Brother Joe, they're going to laugh at me. My neighbors are going to make fun of me if I put a sign out in my front yard. Well, good. Good. That's good. You know, we need a little persecution. I mean, we don't get persecuted in America, do we? I mean, we really don't. I mean, somebody might come steal your sign. That'd be about the most worst thing that could happen. You know, they might make, oh, those Bible thumpers over there. Well, that's good. It's good to have a little bit of persecution in your life as a Christian. Persecution always makes the Christian grow. It never works the other way. It always makes you grow as a Christian when you get persecuted a little bit for the Lord. Amen. When you bear a little bit of the reproach of Christ. You know, the Bible says, let us go into Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. And when we put the signs out, we're doing that. We're bearing Christ's reproach. And you say, well, Brother Joe, what about all the people that don't get saved that see the Scripture sign? Well, you've warned them, amen. You've warned them, amen. Paul said, warning every man and teaching every man. We may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So God will use that word of God. So they're back here today. You guys, help yourself to them. We'd like you to take one and put it out today and do that. Another good way to witness for the Lord besides gospel signs is bumper stickers. Just a humble bumper sticker is a great way to witness for the Lord. Amen. While you drive around, just have a bumper sticker on the back of your car. Amen. I always like those little magnetic ones that says, Jesus saves, are you saved? Just simple thing. But while I'm driving around, who knows how many people I can witness to every day just with a little bumper sticker on the back of my car. And there's other ways to witness for the Lord. So we need to take advantage of these opportunities we have in America. And then lastly, let me say this. Why should we witness for the Lord? Why should we put out Scripture signs? Why should we confess Christ as our Savior to people? Why? Well, number one, because we're saved, amen? And it's our reasonable service. God says, present your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we should lift up our Savior for all that He has done for us, amen? How He's forgave us of our sins, how He's came in our heart, how He's changed us, all your blessings and all your benefits you've received from Christ. I can't tell you about all the things that God's done for Cindy and I in our lives since I've been saved, 42 years. And I'm sure you can get up and say the same thing, how God's blessed you in your life. Amen. And so it's only reasonable that we be a witness for the Lord for all He's done for us. So we're saved. And the second reason I think that we ought to witness for the Lord, it's a command. It's a command to be a witness for the Lord. We read it here. God says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. It's a command. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15:34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That's what God says. So what's he saying there? He says, shame on us if we're not trying to be a witness for the Lord. Amen. God, he says, I speak this to your shame. Some have not the knowledge of God. Amen. So he says, awake. Awake to righteousness. You know, try to be a witness for the Lord. And the Bible says it's important to obey Christ's commandments. Amen. We're not under the law anymore, but Christ has given us commandments. And he says this. He says, he that hath my commandments and doeth them, he it is that loveth me. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. John 14:21. So when we obey Christ, then God will begin to feel God in our lives more. I like to feel the Lord a little bit, don't you? I'm not a Pentecostal today, but I like to feel the Holy Spirit a little bit in my life, you know? And when we obey the Lord and try to be a witness for him, God will begin to manifest himself in our lives, and we'll begin to get the joy of the Lord in our lives more and more. Amen? And then lastly, I believe that we should be a witness for the Lord and this is one of the big reasons. There's a literal burning hell people are going to, folks, if they don't get saved. Amen? I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses tell us. Hell's real. Hell's a real place, and people are going there if they don't get born again. Amen? The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all the nations that forget God. Hell's a real. And we rub shoulders with people every day, folks, that are going to hell. Ezekiel said, son of man, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning for me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning to speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But God says this, his blood will I require at thy hand. Amen. So God wants people to be warned that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Help us to live for you. Help us, God, to be a witness for you, God, and that we may speak boldly as we ought to speak. Now, bless us as we go today. In Jesus' name, amen.